CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Ladies and gents, All Things Covered listeners, All Things Covered viewers watching us on YouTube, man, we got a treat for you guys. And I might be a bit biased. Anytime we have a certain position on our show, you know, we oftentimes go to the island. We're not talking a peninsula. We're talking a legit island. And when you go to the island, you got to make sure you got the proper service and the proper individuals that's on that island. And right now, this guy, he ain't got a peninsula. He got his own island. I mean, three-time Pro Bowler in the National Football League. First team All-Pro in 2017. He should have a few more first teams under his belt, but we're going to talk about that a little later in the show. Second round selection in the 2013 draft. Currently a Philadelphia Eagles elite-like player. One of the best playmakers in the National Football League. If you guys know him, they call him Big Play Slay. Darius Slay, joining us here, All Things Covered. Big Play Slay, how you doing?
I'm good, man. What's good? What's good?
Man, we good, man. Everything's good, man. It's you know, I feel good. You know, even though Pat P is not here with us, man, having DBs on the show, man, it's always a big time, big deal. It's a big deal. And not just having a DB, one of the best corners in the league. I mean, man, they ain't even throwing your weight like that. I mean, you can't even beg for a target. I'd be watching you out there. Sometimes you play off technique, you know what I mean? Just a little soft coverage so they can go ahead and throw something your way. They still won't give you no action. That's respect. That's respect. So we're going to tap into all of that a little later in our show. But let's start at the beginning. You know what I mean? Let's go to the beginning. You grew up in Brunswick, Georgia, right? Brunswick. Right. You went to JUCO at Atawamba Community College for your first few years of college, and then you had an opportunity to go to Mississippi State. For me, I never been to JUCO. I know a lot of guys that went that route, but you know, watching Last Chance U and seeing how the JUCO players go about their business, man, how was it for you?
It was good, man. It's a learning process, man. It really humble you, you know, because you know, JUCO, man, it's just like the, you know, it's just rough, you know, guys that be coming in. You know, they ain't got like the cafeteria. It's a different when you get to the D1, man. You feel luxury when you get to D1, but in JUCO, man, it was like steel, bro. That thing was real deal though, man. Like you, a lot of times you might go hungry because the cafeteria closed because they ran out of food. You
know?
Yeah, so it was real rough, but it was cool though, man. You know, I met some of my best friends there, man, doing JUCO time because that's one of my, a lot of hard times going through it, man. You know, definitely me from Brunswick, Georgia, always. Mm-hmm. So far from home, man, had nowhere to go eat for Thanksgiving. A lot of people, you know, a lot of friends opened their homes up for me to come over there and stuff. So I met a lot of good people there, man, built some real good relationships with.
And talking about the times, you know, throughout JUCO, oftentimes a lot of players get lost in the shuffle. You know what I mean? Talented, but not dialed in and focused. But for you, how were you able to impress the NFL scouts to eventually become a second round? I mean, to eventually get an opportunity to go to Mississippi State and then becoming a second round draft pick.
Man, so I really had a true game plan, you know. So Banks was coming in his sophomore year, was one of the hottest corners coming up as a young guy in the sophomore year. And me and Banks the same class. We both committed out of high school there. So so a lot of scouts was, you know, looking at him, you know. So, you know, back when we come from, it was like every Tuesday was it was money day. That's when scouts came out there. Mm-hmm. So every time one-on-one reps go up, I'm trying to get like six or seven of them, you know, pretty. And, you know, they come to watch Banks and Fletcher at the time because they did the most popping two on the team.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But at the time I was like, you know, clamping up, doing what I do, you know, putting out my film on there in practice. So one of my first coaches that noticed me was in Chicago, man. And he came up to me and was like, man, you're a talented guy my junior year. And, you know, and ever since then I took that and ran with it.
Yeah, you look at your time in Mississippi State playing in the SEC, 6 interceptions, 2 to the house. And you also ran that 4.36. Did you realize going to the combine you was going to clock that type of time?
Easily, man. I was born pretty fast, man. I ain't trying to toot my own horn, but I ain't even trained for the 40. You know, ain't nobody gonna get me that much faster than I'm already is. So
you said you didn't train?
Nah, I ain't had to train for no 40.
You just did drills?
Yeah, I just did drills and working out, trying to stay in shape, man. I was already blessed with speed. You know, young. You know, I had one of them guys. They'd be like, "Hey, you country fast." You know, I just no technique, no nothing. Head tilt back, and I'm running.
Let me ask you this question. Let's say if you legit put in hardcore training for the 40, what would you have ran outside of that? You ran a 4.36, not training. So just imagine if you trained.
Man, I probably knocked it down to like a, you know, I ran it, you know, they say a 4.31 on the unofficial, but the 4.3. So I probably ran a 4.33 or something like that.
Ooh.
Easily, you know, I just hopped up there and just like, let's go, man. Let's get this out of the way. Cause I knew I was fast. And then the scouts at the combine was like, "Slay, can you run?" I'm like, "Yeah," because they said I looked slow on film. I said, my response was them to like, if I'm looking fast on film, that means I'm panicking.
Uh-huh.
I'm not controlling the route.
No question.
So nobody ain't noticed how fast I was. So that's why I kept giving them an excuse. They said, "If you run good, you're going to do good." I said, "I ain't worried about me running. I'm probably going to be the fastest guy here." You know? Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Oh, you talking big, Slay, da, da, da." Then, you know, I end up being the third overall fast, you know. Tavon and Marquise Goodwin.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So they're the only two that beat me. So,
yeah.
And then, you know, and that was it. I'm like, I don't know why people think I was slow, but, you know, it's cool though.
cool story. I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all. And because of what you did collegially at Mississippi State, because of what you did at the combine, you get drafted to the Detroit Lions. And we know your love for Detroit runs super, super deep, but that's an organization that doesn't have the best reputation when it comes to being productive. What was your perception of the city and the organization when you heard they drafted you?
It was love, man. Like I said, I always appreciate nothing taking a chance on me, man, because I was a high risk, you know, JUCO guy, 1 year experience, you know, 1 full-year experience. And, you know, they took a chance on me and, you know, the chance panned out well, but the organization was good to me. You know, the city was love. You know, I was real big involved in the city. I'm one of the guys that went to high school games every week, every Friday.
Oh, you're a big-time high school football fan, huh?
Oh, yeah, man. I love ball, man. So I go support the kids. And all season, as soon as I get ready to work out, I have a mandatory, you know, I pick about 15 kids off of Twitter, you know. Mm. And we go get it in. Somebody call me.
Wow. Host.
Yeah,
so
and we
you
go
do,
get
you
it
do
in.
That every year? Every year,
I do it every
you pick
year.
Random
I do it.
15 players.
15 guys that hit me up out of high school, college kids, whatever. We go get it in. You know, I've been doing that since I've been in the league, you know, and I've been doing it while since I've been in Philly. You know, we always get it in hard. It was a big thing for me, just motivating kids and letting them be around me. Because I could have only imagined, you know, that happened with me in high school, you know.
No so question. Think about how that would have motivated you. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and they're doing a great thing for them. And, you know, so the guys were looking up to me, man. So I'm real big in helping kids.
Hey, well, listen, listeners, listening to us on your podcast format and watching us on YouTube, hit Darius up on Twitter. You might be one of the lucky few that he decides to work out with during the offseason. D Slay, what's your Twitter name?
Big Play _ maybe 24. Maybe
they can find you. I'm pretty sure they can find
you. They can find it. They can find me. Easy.
Yeah. So, hey, start reaching out now. You might be a lucky high school player. Get a chance to work out one of the best to do it. So, hey, great, great opportunity. So go ahead and take advantage of it. Going to your time in Detroit, one of the best to ever do, Calvin Johnson. Is there a time you remember when you first jumped into the league, maybe your first OTA practice, your first minicamp practice, you line up across number 81. Did he ever get the best of you?
Man, look, my whole rookie year, I didn't fall down from him. So this was when the time was hard, you know, as a rookie, you know, I was a starter and I had to be a scout team guy. So I've been.
Oh, you're getting double reps.
Yeah. They don't care about how your body feel. You're young. You don't care. So I was had to be like the guys that used to follow Calvin. That's when everybody really started getting into being a travel corner. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had to be Pat P in practice. I had to be Revis in practice.
Yeah.
And I had to follow Calvin. And, man, he helped me so much. But, man, my rookie year, man, he punished me every day. Every day. Made it look easy, but. But one thing I appreciate about him, like every time he caught the ball, he kind of coached me up on why he did it.
Oh, you love that.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. Man. He, me and two Georgia kids, and man, we got a lot of respect for each other, man. He helped me build, helped me be who I am today.
Do you vividly remember the first time you got the best of Calvin?
Yeah, my going into my second year OTAs, I was competing with this guy for number 23. His name was Cassius.
Okay.
And, so we was going competing against 23. Calvin ran an out and up on me first week of practice, and I knocked it down. And I was like, and I had a high point attack the ball. So I'm like, damn, I just kind of got up with a 6'5 dude. Like, I got up there. And, you know, that gave me my little confidence, you know, because I was getting, like I said, he was tearing me up all my whole rookie year. Gave me all my confidence I needed. End up starting my second year fully. And, man, I had a great year.
Yeah. And let's go back to your rookie campaign, because playing in the National Football League as a rookie corner, man, you're going to see so much that you've never seen before. Right. And during your rookie year, Jim Schwartz, who was the DC at that time, he was the DC, right?
Head coach.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. He was the head coach at that time. He benched you 3 different times.
Yes.
During your rookie campaign. Man, how did you maintain your confidence throughout that process?
Man, it was too hard, man. But I had Rasheem Mathis, man. OG. That kind of like him.
Jacksonville Jaguar
Quinn.
Legend.
Yeah, man. They kept me on my toes, man. What really set it apart was when he just told me as a young guy, say, hey, Slay, I'm here to guide you. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be your secondary room. You know, this is going to be your room. You know, I'm your guidebook. Yep. So that put a lot, that you know, if you're in this business, you know, that it carries a long way when you know a guy that's really trying to, like, he competing with you, but he also wants you to be
helping
great.
You.
You know, yes. Some of the guys these days, man, they compete with you, take his spot, don't give you no pointers, no nothing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, I lost my job 3 times, you know, off of, you know, playing the good. I was kind of lost, you know, because my first play, I actually in the NFL, AP went for the little 90 something yard tub when he came off that little AC. And my second play, I got a PBU that turned. Watch out, baby. Okay, go back. I had made a PBU and DeAndre Levy picked it and you scored. So I'm like, man, I'm hyped. You know, I just made a play, so I'm hyped. So we're going into the third quarter, coming out the halftime. They hit a dig and go on me. And, you know,
what coverage y'all was in?
Man, we was in quad. Oh. And Lou Delmas was my safety. So,
he's
you know.
He's supposed to take the dig, and you did. How was y'all playing y'all quad?
How we played it was, is whoever, if I press, I got the dig.
You by yourself, gotcha.
If I'm off, he got the dig. So I pressed it. You know, I'm slipped the dig. Yeah. He hit the go on me, the dig and go. About a 60-yard bomb. I tackled him, but next thing you know, Schwartz took me right out. Boom. I said, oh, my goodness. You know, I said, dang, I can't give up a play, so I'm hot. So I thought I was done that then. Came back second week playing Arizona. Got dog. They drafted the running back from Clemson in the second round. So
Ellington,
yeah.
Yeah,
so
with the dreads.
We was at the, I remember like yesterday, we was in the bunch route. You know, we got in the red zone. You know, we got our little cover 3 beaters. So the running back came out the backfield, red and Will. My dude came vertical deep. So I sped, turned to the wheel right. I'm trying to make a play on it. I mistimed my jump. He called it touchdown, benched me again. I said, oh my good, that's not even my play to make, you know. But he just said,
that's supposed to be the flat player in the cover. Yeah. The flat guy got to take the wheel route.
He got to take the wheel. So they said, maybe that man, if he said, Slay, man, you too athletic not to make that play. Found an excuse to bench me and then bench me again and put a responsible guy named Sheen in, which was, of course, responsible. Uh-huh. And then next thing you know, he kept the spot. And you know, the whole time he took the spot, though, he still coached me up, though.
You love that. Man, that goes a long way. A lot of organizations don't have that. And you know how it is. A lot of organizations got guys that hate on the next man, especially if they feel like you're a threat.
Facts.
You know what I mean? And those are the organizations that are oftentimes bad organizations because they ain't got good people within the organization.
True.
I mean, you come in to take my job, it's a battle. Best man win, but it's not my job to not help you.
Right.
I mean, that's how you miss out on your blessings. But a lot of people don't, a lot of fans don't know about that, man. There's a lot of hate going on within the locker room, man, on the field and off the field.
Yes, a lot of hate, man. You'd be like, what for, man? We both all is making money, bro. Let's go.
Yeah. We that's one thing I love about a locker room in Pittsburgh, man. We all rock with each other.
You can tell. My boy Steve said the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Steve Nelson, you know what I mean? He was over there with a different regime, but the culture was still intact based on how it was when I was there. So, that goes a long way. And I'm pretty sure some of the things that Rasheem Mathis, you know, show you. Now you're showing to some of the younger guys, you know, Maddox and some of the other guys you guys got there in the secondary. And because of that, look at you. You still making plays. They can't touch Slate. They can't touch Slate when you're in your bag. Hey, so talking about Detroit, one thing that I think the organization, and we're going to talk about this, but when they hired Jim Caldwell, I felt like, wow, this is an individual that can bring some energy to the organization. But how did the organization change for the better when they hired Caldwell? And why did they get rid of him just in four seasons?
That's the question, man, that everybody need to answer, man. My thing is that I don't know why you would replace a guy like that, man. He was very consistent, man. Humble.
Two playoff appearances in 4 years.
Two playoffs in four years. We ain't had the roster like we had in 2014. So He was still finding a way to get us there. And, you know, we had brought a new GM in and he wanted his guy. You know how business work. He wanted his guy in. But his guy supposed to have got us over the hump, but that wasn't about that. You know, we could have got out of the hump easily. Yep. You know, but it was just crazy, man. He changed the culture though for us, man. He made us feel like a family, man. And he made it more and more like it's not about football all the time. He, you know, as a young guy, I looked at him as almost a father figure.
Yeah.
You know, because he preached about us taking care of our money, doing the right things with our money. If you need somewhere to try to be invested in, how to handle it, come talk to me. So it was always bigger than football with him. And then he always cared about our bodies. Mm. I was a year two guy playing all the time. He walked up to me in practice and said, "Slay, man, how you feeling today?" I said, "Yeah, coach, man, I'm a little tired. My little legs hurting, you know."
Yeah.
And off that, he just said, "Hey, walk through, you know."
Oh, you love that.
And I'm in year two.
So yeah, like, you ain't even earned your stripes yet.
I ain't even earned the stripes yet, but I got pulled like that, you know. Yeah. And he's like, "Hey, walk through for the 7-on-7. And I was like, crazy, you know what I'm saying? So when coach shows so much appreciation to how hard we work during the week, man, and some days
you show him appreciation by just doing what he wants you to do.
And he was simple. It wasn't nothing difficult, wasn't nothing hard. Yeah. You know, he was like, if you did something crazy, you already knew what you're gonna get fined for. Like he already had it. Like it was no yelling, no nothing. So he had it very smooth around that, man. He had the Detroit going in the right direction for sure.
Yeah, and I've talked about this on CBS, like looking at all the coaches they've been through since then, you had the man in place. You just wasn't patient. Made two playoff appearances in 4 years. The Lions had made the playoffs just twice in the previous 13 years. Caldwell went 36-28 with the Lions. He had the top winning percentage for a full-time Lions coach since 1956. Detroit Lions fans are still throwing up right now anytime they hear that name. Right now. Yeah.
Right but now.
Hey, sometimes when you make a bad decision, it can affect you for years to come, and they still affecting the Detroit.
Yeah,
Lions.
Was the number two defense in 2014.
Y'all were biting.
Yeah, GQ had 8 picks. Diggs had like 6 picks. I had like 3. Sheen had We had like 30-something total picks. About 50-something sacks with Sudum. Like we was going crazy.
Yeah,
man, and it was just like he gave us that lead. Wait a minute, go ahead and just play ball, man, and have fun doing it. He made football fun.
No question. When you make football fun, usually production follows. And one of your best years so far, 2017, you was in that bag. Boy, you were ill.
Yeah, I was in that bag.
Every week, it seemed like the ball was fine to you. You made the Pro Bowl. You were all pro team, first team. You had 8 interceptions, and man, get this, 26 PBUs. Both you led the league. What clicked for you in 2017?
When Sheen went down, man, that was Sheen last year. He retired. He had a serious concussion, man. And he couldn't, you know, and at the time I wasn't a travel corner. Mm-hmm. So I was going to, then, you know, Sheen had, you know, shut it down, made me to a traveling corner. So I was just following all the receivers, man. And was just going crazy. I'm like, oh man. And you know, and guys was like, oh, he young, da da da, still a little young. He earned his money, but you know, that's just cause but man, look, it sprouted up crazy. I was running the ball like crazy. Like, what? And that's when I feel like I got a lot of targets because I was on the number one guys. They had me in zero a lot. So, yeah. Like, a lot of time was just like guys were getting double or we were just leaning to the other side. And, man, I was working, though. And I was enjoying every matchup I had. And, you know, I kept making plays.
And me and Pete talk about this all the time. How important is it, Slate, for your confidence and just your ability when you get your hands on the football early in the ball game?
Quick. Like, definitely you get bored so fast. Like, man, I remember playing against Green Bay and John Jones. What's his name? James Jones.
James Jones, yep.
James Jones. And, man, I was clamping them up easily, you know. Aaron did not look there not one time. Our other teammate at the time, Nevin Lawson, he was going to against a young Devontae. You know, Devontae wasn't Devontae who he is now. Yeah. Devontae was year two guy. My young boy had
17 targets. I'm like, can I switch? You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, I need to get my rhythm going. I don't feel like my press work all crazy because I ain't really like driving nothing because he ain't looking. I'm like, come on now. Like, but it's real, man. You could, because one play they catch on you now, you know, confidence can get a little shaky in the middle of the game. So, but
you want to start off on fire. You want to first third down, it's third and five. You know, they run hit attack them sticks. Go ahead and run this little hitch. Let me get my hands on it.
Please do it. Please.
Yeah. And when did you realize your time in Detroit was coming to an end?
You know, just talking to at the time, talking to Bob Quinn, you know, honestly, I knew I had to get up out of there because, me and Matty P was not going to never see eye to eye. You know,
I remember. Did it start off that way with you and Patricia, or did it eventually get to that?
It started off like that, man. It started off like that. And
why do you think?
I don't know, you know, because he felt as in a way that the time I went to go work out with, it was me, Sherm. We all did like a little deep. Sherm set up a little DB camp for the NFL players. So me, Sherm, it was Xavier Rose, Tlaib. You know, I was a guy that just coming off my first Pro Bowl. I'm going to be around these kind of, I feel like, you know, some future Hall of Famers. Guys that was very talented. Tlaib, I feel like, was for sure one of the best for like 8-9 years easily.
Yeah.
Sherm was sure at the top of his game for like 6-8 years too. So I'm going to, you know, learn, you know, trying to get better. And, you know, so I got back to OTAs. After OTAs and all that, after camp. When camp started, I had reported to camp. And he came in and brought me into his office, our first meeting. He said, hey, Slay, man, you know, I don't think you should have been working out with them guys that we play against this year. You know, because guys like Marvin Jones, all them guys got to see, they got to play against them. I'm like,
what
they got to do with me? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what they got to do with me? And he was just like, you don't think them guys are trying to figure out what kind of technique them guys use? I'm saying,
what?
Man, these are professionals. If they doing their job, they gonna know what he's doing. You know what I'm saying?
So, no question.
And then, so what really tricked the Dolphins is because he said that was my first Pro Bowl. He was like, and he basically hit me straight up to their face and said, honestly, I don't even think you even in that category. You know, so I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, what? I'm like, you know, so after that, I was like, all right, man, I got to get on out of here. Like, you know, I got to get on out of here. I'm like, man, me and you don't got no kind of talk. We business partners. What do you need me to do to help this team win? I'm going to win. I'm going to do it.
You kept it professional. Yeah, I respect that, homie. You kept it professional. But you telling me Patricia just came out and said what he said, which clearly didn't make any sense. You're working out with defensive backs, corners that play the same position you play. And like you said, at that time, these guys were in the top tier of the positional group. Yeah. You learning from them, along with them probably learning from you. It has nothing to do with y'all wide receivers because y'all wide receivers wasn't even there.
Yeah. Like, what is they going to do? Like, I'm like, his philosophy is, you know, I don't know. You know, you've been in the league long enough. You know how the Patriots were for, like, everybody.
It's a little weird. Some of them, it can be a little weird.
Yeah, they're a little weird. They be just thinking everybody find a way to cheat and all this kind of stuff, man.
Hey, don't say that word, boy. That could open up Pandora's box.
But yeah, man, it was weird, man. And I was like, man, this dude weird. So I just like left it alone. I said, man, I talked to him. We had a man-to-man talk.
Yeah.
Hey, we don't, because he's like, don't ask me about my kids, my family, how I'm doing, bro. Just coach me. Keep it football. Just tell me what I need to do to help y'all win, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to get my best ability. And I told him, I promise him that, and that's it. Like, we ain't cool. Because, like, he was trying my like, you know, he trying to belittle me. Like, you know, like, so, like, nah, he can't belittle me. Like, I know I work too hard for somebody to belittle me. So, we ain't click at all.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't last long for him out there in Motown, so.
Nah.
And last time I checked, you still doing numbers. So
yeah, and I told him after I made my second one and then my third one, I said I'm back to back, you know, two more times, you know, Pro Bowl.
That's what you hit him with?
Since I'm in that category, you know, I told him
What was his response?
You know, he just, you know, it went directly to him. It's just to myself and telling him, like,
yeah.
I was motivated to let him know, like, I'm like that. You know,
no question.
I work too hard to not be like that. And so it was just motivation for me to go out there and really trying to dominate a game.
Well, look, it worked out well for you then, and it's still working out well for you now. Current day, you know, you're part of the Philadelphia Eagles. The last 2 weeks, you guys been flying. Right. Beat up on Denver, beat up on the Saints. But this past Sunday, not the outcome we all expected. And I got Jalen Hurts on my fantasy team. And Jalen, I know he's going to bounce back for me, so it's okay. Matter of fact, don't worry, Darius, when you retire, don't get into fantasy football. It's nerve-wracking. It ain't good for your blood pressure. I'm going to tell you that much right now. So whenever you retire, don't play fantasy football because it ain't good for your pressure. But, you know, not the results you guys wanted, but do you still believe the Eagles can make the playoffs?
Of course, man. You know, we just got to keep executing, man. We got, like I said, we got the Jets. And we got nothing but division games after it. So we know they, you know, as we know in the league, they times two. So we got to go out here and, you know, and dominate these boys. So it's going to be some fun weeks.
No question. And you know how that playoff run goes. The teams that get into the playoffs, they beat the teams they're supposed to beat. Ain't no guarantee in the NFL. We know that. But let's keep it real. They're teams you're supposed to beat.
Facts. No, this team we already know in your schedule, like, it's a whipping we've put on them. So, you know, So we just got to keep executing, man, and just don't hurt ourselves. And we'll be all right.
And let's talk about your game so far this year, man. You got 3 touchdowns already in the bag. You were already known as Big Play Slay, but when did that moniker arrive for you?
What, my name or me just making?
Big Play Slay.
Yeah, my coach gave it to me, man, from Mississippi State, man. And he gave it to me because I was in camp. My first year, I got to Mississippi State. I was in camp, and I had, like, probably, like, 10 picks the first week. I was just picking. Yeah, in training camp at Mississippi State.
Getting a pick every day?
Oh, literally every day. At least maybe 2 or 3 sometimes because it was so easy. I'm like, man, this SEC got to be trash. You know, I'm like, what's going on? You know, it was easy. I was picking left and right, but that's how I got my name. He gave it to me, man. He's like, you know, he was the one that kind of ran the second team. He gave the calls for the second team kind of bit. And Jeff Collins, you know, the head coach for Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech. So he the one gave me my name. And, you know, it took off from there, but, you know, and I just led on with it. And right now in Philly, you know, is what they've been waiting on me to do for the longest.
I know you can get all kind of free cheese steaks out there in Philly.
Come on now. Like, they loving me right now, but you know how the Philly fans is.
Yeah,
they love
me now. Ride they that way.
Me. Ride
that way.
I'm going to keep riding to shut down on me.
Hey, you should go to Mitchell and Ness and go get you some free jerseys, some free gear. How you doing out there? I know they loving Big Play Slate.
Yeah, they loving me right now. So, I'm loving them too. So, we're going to keep riding this way.
Yeah. How difficult, though, sometimes for you? You talked about this early in the show. To live up to the Big Play Slay nickname, but not getting any targets.
Right. It's hard. You know, like I said, my resume kind of speaks for itself. And I'm kind of good around the ball, good tight coverage. So it's hard to make the play that, you know, that I'll be wanting to a lot, you know, because, you know, people, they just game planning. You know, we go find a way not to, you know, make the Slay impact the game. And, you know, some coaches do well against, some coaches don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, but, shoot, man, I'll tell you one thing, though. I'll be going out to go hard to try to find a play, but I'll try to let them come to me and just play the game.
Hey, the ball always find the playmakers. That's one thing. It will find you. I mean, that fumble you got in Denver, man, how in the world the ball bounced right to you? You looking for some scraps.
Yeah.
I got action and took off.
Got action. I saw the dude trying to grab it. No, give it here.
The ball will find a playmaker. That's how it is. You know what I mean? So it's always been that way for you, and it's continuing this year. Question for you, how sweet was it to score against the Lions?
Man, that's probably a good – it was sweet, man, but, you know, I really wish Matty P. done was there. I ain't going to lie. I was probably threw the ball all week. I probably threw the ball in the stands and all kind of mess, ran up on all of it down the sideline, every kind of crazy mess. I would accept any fine the NFL wanted to give me that day.
Yeah.
You know, it was smooth. There's no hard blood with them definitely now. Cause you know, like I said, Matty P ain't there. I got enough respect for that coach over there for doing what he's doing. Cause I'm you know, hearing his interviews and hearing how he talked, man, I know that team got a lot of heart, a lot of passion, you know. So I got nothing but respect for them guys over there for sure right now. So I just kind of just kept it simple, you know, got love for the D when they see the score. I probably got more cheers than when I scored than anything.
I thought
I would get booed. I didn't. Yeah. It was like, Slay. So I'm like,
they still rock with you.
They really love me. I love y'all too.
Hey, you left a good impression for all the fans there in Detroit, even though you're playing for the Eagles. So they still rock with you.
Yeah, they mess with me heavy.
Yeah, Slay, we got something in common. My favorite basketball player was Kobe Bean Bryant. And over there on my right, I got a box full of Kobe's right now. I'm pretty sure you do as well.
Of course.
But a few weeks ago, you had what you call your Kobe moment. versus the Saints. Did you plan that?
I mean, it just came to me when I picked it.
Well, you know what? Tell us the actual Kobe moment. What did you do during this play that we're talking about? That
I had to call
Kobe moment.
Jump on the stands, man. And if I could pull my shirt back like he did, I would have. But I had a jersey on too tight.
Yeah.
So I stood up there, man. I just like, man, it's my Kobe moment. I'm finna do it. But I just like, you know, I just chanted. I'm like, I can't put my jersey to the side, you know, but it's okay. But Kobe know what I'm doing it for.
No question. And take us through. I love being able to take our listeners and viewers into actual gameplay. Take us through that play on that pick that you had on Taysom. Who was the quarterback? Trevor Siemian. What route they tried to run and what you guys were in coverage-wise?
Man, we was in a man. And, you know, third and about, it's 2 minutes. So, you know, everybody like to play, you know, smooth and chill. You know, they try to get chunk plays. So, me knowing what the game plan is, they say, okay, I see number 11 come out here. It's the fast guy. So, they think somebody going to be soft cushion on him. But, like I said, I'm fast. I really don't care if you try to run by me. I feel like I can run with anybody. So, I baited the throw. So, you know, most likely you see two by two. First thing everybody think of, it's going to be slants or all go.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know I'm on top of you. My position going to be on top of you. So, you go, you know, sometimes at one, they stop.
Yeah.
So, I was in position for the fade and the comeback. So, I got in my best plant foot and I got out of there. You know, I cleared a little three-step, make sure with no slant. Got my eyes right there. I said, yeah, I'm on top. He finna just stop. I'm finna go ahead and go get this. So, you know, I didn't run the route for him.
Yes, you did. Man, you ran the route for him. You had a great body position to get that three. That three-step read is so important. I hate watching college football, and I don't see corners getting in three-step.
They do not do it.
What? That's a cheat code. Because the thing about this slate, you know this, even after that third step, if they get into that fourth step and that shoulder get ready to turn, you're about to get an intermediate route.
Yeah,
you're about to break it off. So get prepared.
Get prepared. So it's hard, but it's simple.
Yeah.
That's what it's hard, but
it takes reps.
It takes reps.
Mm-hmm.
But
and oftentimes, you know about this, you might get a step or two deeper so you can get a good viewpoint on the quarterback so you can really see the three step.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when they got guys rushing, offensive linemen standing up, you might not be able to see them. It's clear. Get a little step two deeper. Get that three step read, man. Because watch, you do a great job at it.
Yeah.
When your off technique is so fluid and so smooth, like you always comfortable, like you said, it makes sense now. You know, you always want to be in control. But your off technique, man, is like watching an artist create a painting.
It's smooth, man. I had to learn.
Hey, you do a great job. You're doing a great job. Talking about one of the up-and-coming guys on your team, you seem to have established a great friendship with Devontae Smith. And I saw a clip the Eagles posted, I think it was last week. You and Devontae was arguing about who can cover who. And you lined up at wide receiver, gave him a little one-two. But is there any possibility, any opportunity for you? Because you done scored three touchdowns already. Now, there are a lot of wide receivers, a lot of offensive players in the league ain't got no three touchdowns under their belt.
Right.
Coach Nick Sirianni can put you on offense, or would you ever try to make that happen, get you on offense a little bit?
Look, if Coach want to put the rock in my hand, I ain't going to tell him not to. So, you know, give me a little bubble, give me a little, you know, go ball, you know, slant, any something quick, immediate, you know, get me going, you know. But if he ever do it, man, you know, I'm open for sure.
I already know if he puts you on offense, you're trying to run a go ball.
Easily. I'm trying to run right past somebody.
I already know. How special you think Devontae can be as he goes through his first year in the NFL?
It's going to be smooth. He good, man. He's so smooth, man. He patient. He understand. And like I always told people to the media and to the world that he's a guy that just want to learn. He's not one of them guys that think he knows it all. Mm-hmm. He asks about any corner that's coming against him. He asks questions, man. And that's a big thing about young guys don't do. A lot of guys are having too much manly, too much heart to ask another grown man what he can do to get better, but he don't. Anytime he feel like we have our little Thursday talk, we got a Thursday talk we do every day, every week.
You and him?
Me, him, and all, it'd be me and all the receivers, you know, all the receivers, all them young. So I just try to talk to my ball, life, you know, how this game go. Yeah, so we have our little Thursday talks. Maybe we got about 15 minutes. We just chopping it up. And, you know, sometimes Devontae was like, hey, man, what you feel about this guy? What you think I could beat a man? Or any one of them. So all of them do the same, but he does it a lot, man. He be pulling me to the side a lot, and he'll just ask me a lot of questions.
Oh, that's dope. I love that. He seems to be quiet, but he's oftentimes in front of the camera, so he might not be camera shy, but It's great that you're able to tutor the young guys and they're listening to you as well, because that's the great thing about great people. The ones that are willing to listen and be able to learn and they're teachable, great things going to follow them. Another great guy, and this is the last question for you, Slay, before we transition to the superlative part. Another young up-and-coming guy is Jalen Hurts. You know, year two, we've heard stories about the leadership he's been able to display throughout the organization. But what has impressed you the most about your second-year quarterback in Jalen Hurts?
That he don't lack no confidence at all, man. You know, he can, you know, have a bad play. He can find a way to shake back, keep his composure, and his demeanor don't change. You know, some people like demeanor get changed. You know, he get a little sloppy here. But nah, he try to have the same mindset, go out here and try to dominate a guy and try to be the best player he could be to help this team win, man. He do have a great leadership, man, as a young guy. Ain't too many people that's built in as to be a leader that early. Like, I wasn't a guy that built in to be a leader that early. I was like an example guy. I just work hard, you know, and just do it. He vocal and he work hard. And he know what to say to a team to get us going. Yeah. You know, that was my lack of thing. I ain't know what to say at a young age. I was just like, but let's go. You know, he got the kind of mindset that had the words to kind of like make you, you know, like, dang, bro, I kind of want to run through a wall for you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he does a good job with that.
How good can Jalen Hurts be in a Philadelphia Eagles uniform?
He can be real good, man. You know, like I'm saying, like, he a guy right now, I feel like I ain't, you know, I don't like comparing people a lot too much, but like Russell Wilson, man, to me, you know, they both were baseball players. You know, I think just Russell got a stronger arm for sure. Young, you know, behind a great defense, making all the right reads, all the right checks. You know, that back when Russell was year two, when they won the Super Bowl, you watch how he played. They hand the ball off, running for when Rick Marshawn, running for 130, 120. You know, as we looking right now, you know, if you've been watching the media, if you've been running for 200 yards per game for the past five, six games.
He actually a better runner than Russell.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like they both just like the same type of player, you know, as you've seen that Russell kind of evolved as a passer, you know, because that's what they had to lean on because Marshawn was gone.
Yeah.
But right now, they both still a young core. They can still keep it running, you know, and he can learn on the go, like I feel like Russell did.
Man, that's a good comparison. I never thought of it. When you look at all the players you could compare Jalen Hurts to, or his game might be similar to Russell. I know one thing. They would love that in Philly if he can turn out to be who Russell Wilson is.
Oh, no, they'll love it. They would love it.
Yeah. All right, so Slay, we're about to get you up out of here, but before we do, I love to hit our guests with rapid-fire questions. So this is a two-minute situation for you right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got the ball on the 45 coming out. They need a touchdown. They need a touchdown. They're coming out four wide receivers. They're going to throw it, and they don't care nothing about what you've been doing. They're going to target you. So let's see what you're going to do under pressure. First question for you. Quarterback you want to pick off the most? Maybe Peyton a guy Manning. You never picked. You said Peyton. That was fast.
Peyton Manning.
You want a Peyton?
I want a Peyton so bad I want him so bad that I got mossed twice.
Who was it? Who got you?
Denver, when he was in Denver, man, his last year in Denver, man. Demaryius Thomas mossed me right before 2 minutes and scored. Then Emmanuel Sanders mossed me. I had the ball in my hand, but when I landed, I kind of like.
He came down.
He came down with it, snatched it out of my hand because I landed on his, I landed on my ribs hard. And I'm like, And I let go of the ball, and it fell into his hand. So I'm like, oh, man, that's my chance to get Peyton.
Oh, what about active guys currently still in the league?
Whew, man. Dang. I pretty got most of them. That's what I'm saying.
Y'all heard what he said. He said, I got most of them.
You know, dude, only one I don't got is Russell. I want Russell.
You want Russell. Yeah. Y'all don't play them and shit, dude.
Nah, we don't.
Okay, you want Russell. All right, next question for you. Best trash-talking wide receiver in the league right now?
Ooh, probably DK. Me and him got into it bad.
Oh, yeah. Y'all had a little spat last year, right?
Yeah, me and DK, man, he be talking trash. And I only talk trash. He was talking trash for no reason.
Yeah. He tried to play big man football. He tried to muscle people, too. You know, but most DBs, he tried to just go ahead and shower down over them.
Yeah, he be trying to set a tone early for no point of reason when nobody even saying that. I be just buying my... <you know? laughs>
All right. Top five corners in the league right now.
Ramsey, myself and Sheeran now. Mm-hmm. I love Marshawn Gaines, man. I love it.
Lattimore.
Yeah, I love Lattimore. I love you know, Humphreys, especially Gilmore. Mm-hmm. What's that, four?
That's five.
That's fine. Yeah, they're my guys. Yeah, they're my guys, for sure. That's the ones I like to watch a lot.
Best piece of advice you would give young corners?
To play free. Play free-minded. You know, that's my best advice to you. And I always tell my young corners nowadays is, hey, don't go in there. Just go into the game with one formation or two formations and not be trying to master everything. Just go to look at two formations and that's it.
Yeah. Why is that important?
Because you want you to play fast instead of trying to think. Because I was a rookie and I was thinking to myself at a young age, what they did in 3x1, what they did by 2x2, what they did by 2x4. So I was just like, bump all that. I just take the two best formations they do all the time and I steal my stuff out of there. And everything else, I just play, you know, ball. And the years you go on, the years you go learn more about the ball, what kind of formations come with it.
Okay. Who's the most talented teammate you ever played with?
The most talented one I ever played with. Ooh, man. Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, I knew he was going to say Calvin. Outside of Calvin, who would you give it to?
Ooh, all around. Honestly, probably maybe Glover Quinn, man, as in just a talented person, because he was very good at baseball, very good at football, and he was good in basketball. So he probably one of the other talented guys I ever played with.
Okay. Last question for you. You've been a part of the organization for quite some time. They're in Philly, 2 years to be exact, right? 2 years in Philly. You've been around the city a lot. So when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles fan base, who do they hate more? The Giants or the Cowboys?
Boy, it's so hard to determine, but I guarantee it's them Cowboys, though. They don't care. Can't stand them boys.
They can't stand the Cowboys?
They can't stand them, boy. Look, I don't think they can stand any other team but theirs. They probably can't stand them sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, for you then, as a player, being a part of the organization, who you hate more, the Giants or the Cowboys?
Man, I hate the Cowboys because they cheated us in the playoffs in 2014.
Oh.
When Dez Bryant ran up on the field.
Yeah.
Pull the flag.
Yeah.
Yeah, they cheated us.
Yeah, you already had some bad blood before you became a Philadelphia Eagle.
Yeah, and Dallas, I heard Dallas had wanted to trade for me. I said, no, I ain't going there.
Oh, you told Dallas no?
I'm just saying it because I heard about it. I told it.
Oh.
Yeah, I said, no, I ain't going there.
So if they wanted to, you wouldn't accept that trade if they wanted to trade for you?
No, I wasn't going to Dallas.
Wow, that's a first.
Yeah, I couldn't stand them. They cheated us.
Whoa, boy, that runs deep right there, Slate.
It runs deep. Ooh, runs deep.
Yeah, you're right there with the homegrown Philadelphia Eagle fans when it comes to that that element. Man, Slade said, I would have told Jerry, no.
Nope.
I don't want to go there. Wow.
Nope.
Hey, man. Hey, Slade, man, it's an honor, man, have you on here. Joining me, Brian McFadden, Pat Peterson, All Things Covered. Man, I know the listeners and viewers definitely enjoyed this. I can tell y'all this much right now. I know Pro Bowl voting hasn't started yet. It's about to start, but that's a given. I mean, stay healthy. Slay going to get the Pro Bowl. Slay got to get him the first. Only option all pro going to be first team, right, Slay?
Right. Got to be, you know what I'm saying? Three tugs, you know.
Three tugs. A lot of three turnovers. Interceptions. Yeah, three interceptions.
I got 21 points on the board.
Huh. And you play defense.
Come on now. Talk to me.
You play defense. And you following whoever you need to follow when they tell you to follow.
Come on to make this happen. Let's get it.
Yeah, first team all pro, man. We're gonna throw that in the universe right now, allow it to manifest. First team all pro 2021, Darius Slade, starting cornerback for the Philadelphia Eagles, one of the best corners in the game, and a great high character guy, man. Joining me here, Pat Peterson, Brian McFadden, All Things Covered. Slade, who you got? The Jets?
Oh, Zach Wilson. I mean, he's been generous all year. I know Jets fans might not want to hear this, but he might as well just go ahead and be consistent, right, Slay?
Come on now. Be nice. Come on, man. Yeah. Be nice to me.
Yeah, be nice. You've been generous
early
all year.
Early Christmas gift.
No question. No question. Hey, Slay, man, it's a pleasure joining me, man. Be safe and go get you another tub and another pick this week.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.